From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting another massacre in Pakistan. A gun and bomb attack on a university campus in the country's northwest Wednesday killed at least 20, including 18 students and two teachers, and wounded dozens. The military says a group of four terrorists stormed the Badshah Khan University in the town of Charsada. They were all killed. Nawab Khan, father of one of the students at the school, said there were rumors about an attack on a school in Peshawar. He says these attacks should not happen. They are having an adverse impact on children's education. It's unclear who was responsible. A Pakistani Taliban spokesman denounced the attack, saying it's against Islamic Sharia. More than 150 were killed in an army school attack in December 2014. Meanwhile, in Afghanistan Wednesday, at least seven journalists were apparently targeted by a suicide bomber in Kabul. The bomber detonated explosives near a vehicle owned by a company that works for Tolo News, Afghanistan's first 24-hour news channel. The channel had been threatened after reporting on alleged Taliban abuses in its attacks last year on the city of Kunduz. Tunisian police Wednesday clashed again with protesters demanding jobs in the city of Kasserine, a second day of protests following the death of one unemployed man. Witnesses say police used water cannon and tear gas while groups of protesters erected roadblocks and threw stones. Protester Mohammed Qadari said the demonstrators are defending their right to work. The only way to be heard are clashes. Late Wednesday, the government promised to create thousands of new jobs. The North African country has been plagued by high unemployment and poverty since the 2011 revolution that toppled longtime President Zine El Abidine Ben Ali. This is VOA News. Uncertainty over the timing of talks on Syria's future and the humanitarian crisis there were high on the agenda Wednesday as U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry met with his Russian counterpart Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov in Switzerland. The meeting comes amid heightened concern that Monday's scheduled start of U.N.-mediated talks and a political transition is in jeopardy. Mr. Lavrov says he has no thoughts about moving the start time of the talks to next month. He expressed confidence the talks would get underway this month. Mark Toner is a U.S. spokesman.
Our expectation is that the talks will take place on January 25th. Those are UN-led talks. It's really for the parties involved to reach agreement on who will participate in those talks. But we still want to see them take place on January 25th. And I think it's the Russians' sentiment as well. You, of course, have to ask them. But clearly, that's the date we're still looking toward.
There is still widespread disagreement over which opposition groups should be represented at the UN talks. Officials say the meetings next week cannot proceed until there is a mutually acceptable list. U.S. Defense Secretary Ashton Carter and six allied defense ministers agreed in Paris Wednesday to step up their military campaign against Islamic State. The meeting followed the removal of IS fighters from the Iraqi city of Ramadi last month.
We agreed that we all must do more. I believe today's discussion gave every minister the opportunity to discuss with their governments what else they can bring to the table and how they can better align their efforts with our common goals and strategy.
The defense chief announced that 26 ministers will meet next month in Brussels to talk about military operations against the IS group. The U.S.-led coalition says its airstrikes hit an Islamic State cash collection point this week near IS's northern Iraqi stronghold of Mosul, destroying tens of millions of dollars the jihadists were using to pay fighters. U.S. Army Colonel Steve Warren said Wednesday that Monday's attack was the second strike in Mosul against an IS financial target in as many weeks. He said it's impacting their ability to pay their fighters. The mystery of the poisoning death of ex-KGB agent Alexander Litvinenko may be solved Thursday when a British judge releases the findings of his inquiry. Litvinenko died nearly 10 years ago after he was allegedly poisoned by a cup of tea laced with polonium-210, a rare radioactive isotope. The former Russian intelligence officer has been an outspoken critic of Russian President Vladimir Putin. Moscow has always denied any involvement in his death. Zimbabwe's Constitution Court Wednesday outlawed child marriage involving girls under age 18. The case brought by two women forced into child marriages. One-third of Zimbabwean women have said they were married before 18. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.